know, my daughter's 9 years old, and she's kind of at the age where she, like, knows some big words.
Ooh, excellent. But does she know what the big words mean, or does she just, like, misuse them?
I'm also
them?
Kind of at that age.
You're right. Some of the time. Sometimes they get a little twisted.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
And she's also super observational. So we're out and about, and there's a man with a prosthetic leg on.
Love it.
And she, like, notices him, and she goes, "Look, Mom, he's got a probiotic leg."
I love it. That probiotic leg.
So close.
I could use a leg that helps my gut health. That'd be great.
Right.
That'd
yeah.
be very handy.
It's made out of yogurt.
Yeah. Yogurt leg.
Get a leg up on gut health.
Yeah.
Probably about go-gurt.
Oh, there it is.
It's on the
yeah.
go. Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me, as always, Pastor Dave Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
He's got his name tag on.
Yeah, I do.
Wow, very formal.
Because you almost forgot who I was last time.
Did you really?
No.
No.
What does that say? Yeah. And Elise McCarter.
Still here. Still pretty successful.
No name tag, but I still got it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Nailed it.
It's because we're friends.
She's been gone for like a month, too. So, you know,
yeah.
What do you have a name tag on?
I was downstairs with the preschool teachers.
Okay, they know who you are.
Yeah.
There were new teachers who had not met me before. I was, you know, performing duties as a lead pastor of the church. I felt like I should have a name tag on.
Nerd.
Yeah, okay. Wearing a name tag. Listen, there's a lot of things that make me a nerd. Wearing a name tag is not the thing, all right?
It is a thing. It's not the thing, but it's
all
a thing.
All right. I'm going home. You guys are the worst.
Back all together again.
We are.
Do we have any mail? Do we get any emails?
I don't think so.
You haven't checked.
I checked last week. It wasn't any last week. Oh, maybe we got something about death penalty.
Yeah, we asked for emails. So.
Yeah, we asked for emails every
time.
Week.
Every time.
Yeah, but this was more of a real ask.
I'll look while you're talking.
All right. Welcome back, Elise.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Yeah. Happy start of school for everyone.
I know. I really enjoyed some of that, like, sleep in during the summer. It was a light sleep in because I'm in my 30s and I don't know how to do that anymore, but a little bit, and not having to get up and, like, feed somebody breakfast immediately.
Sure.
And make lunch immediately.
Newsflash, we did not get any emails.
There you go.
Come on, listeners.
Do better, listeners.
Help us out.
Do you think shame works as a tactic?
You, right now,
that's right.
are failing the Beyond Sunday
You
podcast.
Stink!
Stop what you're doing. Pull over safely if you're driving a car. Stop what you're doing. Send us an email.
Yep.
All right, let's get to our main. Or not our main. Our ridiculous news story.
Which Excellent. Is really more of our main topic some days.
That's what the people are here for.
It's what we're excited about for the most part.
What do we got?
You know, I think we've talked about dating apps before, right?
We have assessed that if I ever am in the need of a dating app, I'm just going to be single for the rest of my life. So, yeah, we've talked about them.
I think they're down. From what I have read and heard.
It's not the thing?
They're not a thing quite anymore.
Okay.
The next generation is not into the dating app.
I can understand that. All right.
Well, how are they meeting people then? Because
you're
done meeting people in person a long time ago.
They don't want to meet in person. They don't want to meet online.
Right,
so they're just...
I think they're just done.
Living alone. Yeah. I know myself. If you walk into my room, maybe I know you. That's it.
Wow. The room is like pretty deep into your house to get.
I'm thinking like I'm thinking
for
college.
A stranger.
I was thinking college dorm. Sorry. Yeah, sure.
This guy got so fed up with dating apps, he rented a billboard in Philadelphia to find a date.
Mm.
Oh,
that's
interesting.
That's a choice.
Yeah. His name is Dave.
Dave.
Of course it is.
That's Dave. Not original Dave.
Not David. Let's be clear. Davids don't do this sort of
right.
thing. That's a Dave thing.
Was
Daves
this
do that.
You?
This was not me.
Purchased a billboard to find a date. Here, I'm going to show you the billboard here, Elise, and you'll tell me.
Why only Elise?
Well, I assume she would be. You're not
I have to judge
the Dave's
the man.
Target audience.
I can still assess the quality
it's
of a billboard.
My target audience. Okay.
What do you think?
Tough from the jump. Okay. Okay. It does say Dave is single.
There you go.
Point. Yeah. It's got a picture of his cat. Uh-huh. Which I'm undecided on.
Is it just a picture of his cat? Is Dave not
well,
on there?
Well, he's next to his cat holding up a thumbs up.
Sure.
And you can message him at DateDaveFilly on Instagram.
Okay.
He's got some fun facts.
You think Instagram is a weird choice, too.
It is. That already kind of ages you a little bit. Yeah. Can cook, in parentheses, well.
Ooh. Does that mean he burns everything?
Has normal hobbies. Okay, so...
That's what Dave
rules out some stuff.
No, like not what Dave thinks is normal. That doesn't rule out anything. Yeah,
like what is a normal hobby?
Exactly.
Like that feels very subjective. He owns a cat, pictured in parentheses, and bought a billboard. So Dave's got some pocket money.
Yeah. Does it say Dave's got pocket money on
that? No,
the-
I'm inferring that. Yeah. So, I mean,
how much does it cost to rent a billboard? What's
they're
what's
not cheap, actually. I think they're a couple thousand dollars a month.
I mean, this is also, this is more of a street level billboard. It's like barely above the cars.
A lower level,
it is not like when you're driving down the expressway.
It's not top tier billboard.
Right. Yeah, but then you can read that if you're in the car better.
Yeah.
That's so true.
There have been dumber ideas. Probably.
When you're stuck in Philly traffic.
And it looks like connected to like an above ground train is what it looks like.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I'm not saying Dave is, you know, advertising the best possible.
No. What you need to get is those little signs that are inside the train. So as you're sitting there, you're like looking at the map. Okay, here's where I'm going to get off. Oh, and there's Dave. Okay. Right.
Yeah. I kind of like this for Dave.
Like
he's putting it out there.
Sure, yeah.
He's not
shooting a shot.
I don't feel like Dave is a catfish because that picture is bad to begin with. So you know what you're getting.
There you go.
Yep. Yeah, that's legit. That's
I'm with you. I think this is Dave's best bet. I'm really like I agree that the dating apps were not working well for
this
Dave.
This is his hope.
Right.
I think he was getting swiped the wrong direction
probably
often. And so I think he's like, this is
Oh, there he is. That's let's see that. There's another picture. Oh, the picture of him standing next to his billboard. And
what was the Instagram handle? Let's check him out.
Date Dave
Philly, and it's like underlines.
Underlines
in between.
Oh, underscores.
Yeah.
All right. It's date underscore Dave underscore Philly on Instagram.
This is the most publicity Dave has had.
Besides the billboard.
Including that billboard. Ooh, it even popped up.
He's had more than 6,000.
Oh, there's an Alyssa dates Dave Philly. I think Dave got a date.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It's
looking for singles in the Philly area, preferably Dave. So maybe she hasn't. Maybe she and Dave haven't connected yet.
Okay, maybe she's good.
She's shooting her shot.
A competing billboard.
We're gonna need to follow this saga and see what happens. Yeah.
Okay. I do have some information.
All right.
Okay.
I'm ready.
When the billboard cost. $1,154.
Okay.
Okay. That seems.
That's an investment. I mean,
yeah, that's not nothing. Yeah. And he's had 6,000 hits or 6,000 messages.
Okay.
All right. So of those 6,000, how many are probably quality? What do we think the scale is here? Like per.
If you're getting
10, maybe you get one. That's.
If you're getting 10%, I think you're. That's well above what you should be getting. Of those 6,000,
sweet Dave.
I bet maybe 7.
Seven more than you had before you put the billboard up.
But
so.
You gotta weed through 6,000 to find those 7.
It's going to be like a part-time job for a little bit.
According to Dave, I've already thought about shutting it down a few times because it's just too popular for me to handle.
Okay.
Brag. Okay, Dave. I was really not expecting this type of reaction and support from it. It's crazy. Just insanity. He said he was mostly doing it for a bit.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that comes through.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, like he's not taking it super seriously.
Which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got some pictures of date ideas on his Instagram.
Oh, what does Dave got for us?
Date idea, go look at this thing, which is like a broken face gold statue thing.
It's just a big nose.
It's a bit, yeah. A
sculptural nose.
I'm sure that if you're in Philly, you know what that is.
And he's choosing to wear his backpack in that photo with it.
Well, you know, you got to know.
Is he on a scooter? What am I looking at?
Was he on a scooter? No, he's just standing in kind of a gorilla-esque.
Like he should be on a scooter.
Ape pose, yeah. Expressing his primal self.
Dave does have long red hair.
He does.
He does.
Yeah.
He can't do much about.
Yeah, I don't hold his genetics against him.
He can do something about the length.
Yeah, he can cut it. But it's still red.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, gingers.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Shout out to Dave.
Yeah.
All right. Do you know any single ladies you want to throw Dave's
way? Should I just say my friends' names on this podcast?
Are they in Philly? Dave is only interested in if you're in Philly. That's very
that's
clear.
That's pretty narrow, Dave.
Well, he lives
have an open mind.
He lives in Philly. He doesn't want to move.
What about a long distance? Like
he doesn't want
people do that all the time.
You don't put out a billboard to get long distance.
He's got $1,000 at least in his bank account.
Not anymore. He doesn't.
He can afford a trip or a move.
Right.
Or, yeah. What's Dave doing? What's Philly? What's he doing in Philly that he can't leave? You
right.
Know?
So I guess, got 6,000 hits from Philly. Then, if he's
anybody want to guess the cat's name?
It's got to be something from Lord of the Rings.
It's not. It is a fruit.
What?
A fruit.
Yeah.
Is it a pun?
No, it's just a fruit.
Yeah.
Like a cantaloupe?
That's a good one.
Thank you.
On the top of your head.
It's not cantaloupe.
Banana.
No, it's peach.
Peach. Like Princess Peach. Like,
I mean, maybe, I don't know. It
maybe
just
that's one of his hobbies that aren't weird.
Right, it's a normal hobby. Yeah.
You have to say your hobbies aren't weird.
That makes it weird.
They're weird.
I'm already like, what do you think? Like,
and look, I say, do you. Have a weird hobby. Make Legos.
And own it.
Model trains. Yeah.
And you're
going
to connect with the other weirdos out there that are into the same weird stuff as you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Everybody likes something that's a little bit weird.
Yeah, like hosting a weekly podcast.
You know, if I was back on the Billboard market, I would be looking for somebody with a weird hobby. That's interesting.
Right, right. Yes. Like, I don't want long walks on the beach.
Here's, here's Dave with Pikachu in Louisiana. So
yeah, that sounds about right.
That's not a normal hobby.
But going to Louisiana to see
Pikachu.
Pikachu.
Oh, here you go. This is Dave at a bar with a stick drawing of a person that could be you next to him.
That's very funny. Yeah.
This could be you.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
All right. You know, Dave's.
Good luck, Dave.
Good luck, Dave. Yeah.
We wish you well.
Yeah. Right. Just the normal amount of well.
We are going to go and move on to our main topic.
Not Dave.
Not Dave. I mean, we could probably talk about Dave for longer.
Yeah.
Could, but we're not going to.
Are women more spiritual and men more religious?
Dun, dun, dun.
All right.
That was maybe the wrong sound effect for that. Hold on, try it again. Maybe give me a second shot at the sound effect.
Are women more spiritual and men more religious?
Dun, 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 dun. Is that any better?
Yeah. It's like we're announcing something.
All right. This is from graphsaboutreligion.com.
Uh-huh. That is quite a website.
Graphsaboutreligion.com. So exciting.
I'm going to go check that out. I'm kind of interested. Yeah, that's my
You're
weird thing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
This,
yeah.
Not skin graphs.
Gross. That's so much worse.
Yuck.
But more like pie charts. Right. Things like that.
Yeah. Yes. Pie charts, bar graphs.
Venn diagrams, perhaps.
There might be a Venn diagram. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about this.
Okay.
I'm sure we've seen some people say, like, I'm not religious. I'm spiritual.
I have heard people say that.
What do you think about
that? Elise has got feelings.
Well, there's this Family Guy skit about this, which is really, really great. And it's Peter is asking God, like, okay, what about, you know, people who, like, used to believe and don't anymore? Yeah. And he's like, oh, now they go to heaven. And it's like, okay, what about, you know, people that, you know, drink heavily but would still say they're you know, Christian? He's like, go to heaven. He's like, what about people who say that they... They aren't religious. They're just spiritual. Straight to hell. That sticks with me a little
bit. That does sound like a good Family Guy bit. Right. I like that. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not my official opinion.
No, but it is.
In case I need saying.
It's a funny bit. Yeah.
But it's pretty funny.
So let me get the author's name.
I will say that in my limited experience with people who say I'm spiritual but not religious, they tend to come off as pretty pretentious about being spiritual but not religious.
I'm like instantly annoyed 9 times out of 10. Like... pick something like
which I at one level, like, I get what they're saying, like, I don't, you know, institution of church, there's trauma or there's struggle or there's challenge or whatever, like, I can understand all those things, but
there's so many better ways to say that.
Yeah, they often, like, come off as just very pretentious
and they have a crystal collection.
That's also a possibility. Yeah.
Yeah, or they're definitely into astrology.
Probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hard into astrology.
And they're like, oh, that's such a Leo thing to say.
Right.
I knew you were a Leo.
Yeah. I am a Leo. Why are you guys judging that?
Oh, you know.
Because we knew.
That's funny. That's, yeah.
Okay.
It's such a Leo thing to wear a name tag.
It's probably true. It's because we want to assert ourselves as the, the dominant.
Especially one that says lead pastor.
It's my job title. All right. You guys are the worst.
All right. Anyway.
I'm going to get you both name tags.
So Ryan Berg, that's the runner of Graphs About Religion.
Okay.
There's a writer for the Graph website.
Somebody's got to create it. You got to put this stuff into their spreadsheet.
He runs the website.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And he said one of the comments he was looking at on another thing. There's a stereotype that is spiritual, not religious, is a highly female-coded worldview, just as atheism is a more male-coded worldview. The commenter said, I wish I could have tested here, and... I wish that could have been tested, and so Ryan's like, great, let's test it out.
Okay.
So he's got some data.
Okay, so the question is being spiritual a more female-centric worldview as opposed to being atheist, being a more male?
What he's saying, I just said women are generally more religious but less dogmatic.
Okay, all right.
Interesting.
Okay.
All right, so that's the question we're diving into. All right.
Girls like cats more. Catmatic.
Cat-matic, baby.
Right up there with your cantaloupe. All right.
What do you think? Do you think women are more religious but less dogmatic?
I mean, maybe
you should define dogmatic.
Yeah. So, okay. So we can start with, you know, dogma is a strict set of beliefs, right? And so if you're dogmatic, you are more likely to adhere to that particular set of beliefs as opposed to being open to multiple interpretations of a thing, right? Dogmatic is almost a black and white worldview, right? Like this is in bounds, this is out of bounds, and we know what's right and we know what's wrong, and that's that.
Yeah.
That'd be a dogmatic.
I think maybe just a quick disclaimer that anything on a binary like this can be a little tricky because there's always going to be people that fall outside of that experience, right?
Sure.
But since like we're kind of talking like forcing ourselves into the dichotomy of this dichotomy and binary, I would say I think maybe it's changing generationally. Mm-hmm. I would say maybe across the board, no. Anecdotally, like growing up, I would have said yes.
Yeah.
I think like the women I knew that were older than me tended to hold more space for like an individual's like lived experience and struggles than the men that I knew tended to be more black and white about mm-hmm. things. Like, well, this mm-hmm. is right, this is wrong, you do this. And that's okay, you do that, and that's wrong. But I do think that, like, in the kind of subsequent generations, so that would be primarily like, baby boomers I'm talking about, and subsequent generations, I think that that's shifted quite a bit. And there's more space, I think, for men to be more maybe emotionally intelligent.
Yeah.
So aware, like, I think yeah. that's becoming different. Would be my guess. I have no idea what the data says. Yeah.
No, I hear that. And I think anecdotally, I would reflect a similar thing. I think my experience tends to be more along a generational gap as opposed to a gender gap. Mm-hmm. That the older, and this isn't necessarily even just like older generations, but as people become older, I think people become more set in a particular dogma.
Yeah.
And I'll be interested to see how our generation, which I think has been less dogmatic overall as a generation, as we grow into that, does that become true for us
right.
as well?
Right, you're real crotchety about right. stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we had seen our parents, our grandparents 50 years ago, would they have been less dogmatic mm-hmm. than perhaps we right. look around and see an older generation being now? And that, again, not set in stone. Plenty of older people who are not particularly dogmatic and we're very open to those experiences. But that anecdotally is where I see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would say, again, generalizations here.
Yeah.
I think women typically would be more open to expressions of faith that
sure.
are outside of the quote unquote norm.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think if we were to do like, we're going to do a spiritual dance, we'd have way more women more interest in that. Spiritual art, way yeah. more women more interested yeah. in that.
That's fair.
You know, spiritual
but you could
poetry.
You could probably just say dance, art, poetry, and those might all be true also, right?
Yeah, like, sure.
Mm-hmm, you're right.
Yeah, we're just throwing the word spiritual on top
right.
of that. Yeah. So, I mean, I think so in those instances, I think women are just more willing to kind of like be more explorative than men would be, but we'll see. We'll see what
yeah.
the data says.
Okay, let's first, get into the data.
What statement comes closest to expressing what you believe about a higher power? So this is five bullet points here, all
okay.
the way from believe, no doubts, to don't believe at all. So
okay.
Oh, I thought that was a website name. I was like, man, that's a mouthful.
.com.
Right? www.
Dot believe, no doubts, to not believe at all. .com. Even,
what statement comes closest to expressing what you believe about higher power?
It's
dot,
really like, woof.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the .org out there. So,
yeah,
so you got to make sure you hit that .com.
.net. Yeah.
All right. So in this data set, believe mm-hmm. no doubts, 55% of women say yes.
Okay.
Compared to 43% of men.
Okay.
So
interesting.
So there's a 12% gap. Did you say 55 to 43?
Correct.
12% gap between women who believe no doubts and men who believe no doubts.
That is correct.
All right. Out of how big a sample size?
I don't know.
Okay. a number.
Yeah. All right. 100%.
So. Out of 100%.
55%. So it's pretty good. It's over half.
Yeah. So. I mean, so believe no doubts. That's interesting.
I feel like that's BS.
I mean, I hear that, but I also feel like believe no doubts in my mind almost makes you more dogmatic.
Yeah.
Because if you believe no doubts, you're like, oh, well, I don't have anything to like question or ask about. And I feel like the other side of that is where a lot of the kind of questioning and open to other expressions and things comes in.
Right. And it seems like probably like biblical literalism would fall more under Believe No Doubts too than biblical liberalism. I don't know. What do we call the...
I don't know that it has like a name. Yeah. Let's name it right now.
Intelligent reading.
Oops. I think that might have been a little on the nose.
That's not very politically correct, is it?
I know.
And then compare it all the way down to don't believe it all, 4% of women compared to 9% of men.
So sure.
Don't believe it all. Okay.
So men would be the lower you get on this bar graph from Believe No Doubts all the way to don't believe, the greater the distance between men and women is on the men's side.
So men are more likely to not believe at all.
Correct.
That makes sense. That tracks with my general experience. I feel like in my anecdotal experience, if I were to walk up to 50 men and 50 women of the same general age, let's say in their mid-30s, I would not be surprised to find more men who are just willing to say, I don't really go to church, so I don't believe in anything, versus women who might not have the same experience of not going to church, but would still express some sort of, I consider myself spiritual, or I believe in something.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm just not thinking about this, that faith is really largely an emotional experience, right?
Should be, yeah.
And so to be able to connect with that, you have to be willing to engage with your emotions. And if you've grown up in a culture that doesn't really make space for you to do that, that becomes much more of a hurdle.
Mm. It's an excellent observation.
All right.
Thank you.
Next question. To what extent do you feel connected to a higher power? From not at all to highly? Again, we're kind of seeing a similar thing. Highly, 40% of women, 26% of men. And then not at all, 23% of men, 12% of women.
So, yeah. Okay.
So...
Women, similar.
Women, the closer you get to the higher.
It's women, more dominated by
more
women.
More
dominated
and then versus
the way episode. To go, ladies.
Represent.
Break through that.
That glass ceiling.
That glass ceiling of you feel connected to God.
Right. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Somebody's got to feel connected to God. Might as well be the ladies.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, wait, hold on. Is this like God specifically like a Judeo-Christian perspective, or is this just a higher power in general? So like
that question was a higher power.
Okay.
I feel connected
that
to
makes
a higher
a lot
power.
Of, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. All right.
So the crystals are still
the crystals are still in play. Yeah. The yoga babes have been represented here.
That's right.
If the crystal's a higher power. I mean, is it a higher power?
Well, the crystals are vibrating with a higher power, obviously.
The crystals are in sync with the higher power.
Yeah. Okay. You need to do your research.
Yes, you can just buy crystals. Like, if you can just buy it, I'm a higher power than those crystals.
Right.
You're buying this thing that connects you to that because you can hold the crystals and the vibrations connect you to the higher power.
It's only legit if you mine your own crystals.
You got to mine your own crystals?
You got to mine your own crystals and then you have to cleanse them under the moonlight in a mountain stream.
I did see a thing on the internet of somebody who like hot glued like a bunch of crystals to her steering wheel to be like, this is my, good vibes in the car.
Love it.
Feels like you're creating a mine whenever you get into a car accident, your airbag goes off.
Yes. One time I was in Belize and it was, there was a super inebriated girl at the bar and she had all her crystals out in her hands. She was like swaying and had them out. And the bartender was like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm charging them under the full moon. And the full moon was 2 nights away. Should we tell her?
I mean, you're getting close to a full moon.
Right. Yeah, you're like, obviously, it does not matter.
Is that a waxing or a waning? I'm not quite sure. Yeah. But like, it's an okay charge.
Yeah, it's like when you get those magnetic chargers and your phone's not quite all the way on. You get, you get a partial charge.
It's like when you've just knocked it a little bit off the charger.
Yeah. Still get something out of it.
All right, so we've got a next question. Engaged in the following spiritual activity in the previous week.
Okay.
All right, so we...
Spiritual activity.
Yeah, we got a lot here.
Did you dance with the crystals under the full
moon?
What
are the parameters?
Again, I don't know the full things of this, but this seems crazy. Some of these I'm like, I don't believe it.
Right. Okay, what do we got?
We got a lot, but I'm going to go with some highlights here.
I love it.
One, art. 52% of women, 44% of men. Like,
men are not
engaged
doing
art. In
art? Yeah.
What does
that's false.
Does that mean they made art or they looked at art or...
Spiritual art?
Or
engaged
just art
in the
as a spiritual
doing the previous week. art. Would you say you've engaged in art?
Do we consider shows to be art? Like, you
like
know,
watch a TV show?
Yeah, that's... yeah,
well, that should be 100% on both.
Right, yeah, that's it. I mean,
is it spiritual? I don't know, but I watch TV.
Right.
Yeah, the creating art.
Maybe this is like right after people were arguing about The Last Supper.
Right.
Yeah,
I looked at that painting.
Right,
yeah. Last Supper, I was there. Yeah.
You were at The Last Supper?
No. I was there when we were arguing about it. I remember it.
We did it.
I have an adult coloring book that has like bad words in it. Is that
does that count does that as count? Art? All right. What else we got?
All right. Attending a religious service: 28% of women, 24% of men.
Okay, well,
that's very close to the same.
Being in nature.
Just stop.
Being in nature. Okay.
48% of women, 39% of men.
Whoa.
So, okay.
All right.
All these outdoorsy guys are frauds.
Have you guys been in nature as a spiritual experience in the last week?
Oh, it defines spiritual experience. Like,
I mean, you define it for yourself. Have you encountered
nature?
Have
I enjoyed being outside?
Have you encountered nature?
As yes.
No, I'm
great.
In Texas. I don't enjoy being outside.
Yeah, it was brief, but I did it.
Yeah, I did it. Yeah.
I like to step outside and think, this is what hell would be like.
And then I go back inside. And then I go back to reading my Bible to avoid it.
From car to door, and I was like, wow, this is the worst.
This is awful.
Yeah. I'm born in the right era.
Air conditioning, is that the era that you were born in?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify what era we were talking
about. Yeah.
What else do you want to know?
What else you got?
Reading.
Okay.
Yeah.
48% of women. I mean, all of these are more women than men. I can just say 48% of women, 41% of men.
So does that mean that more women read, which A, might be true, or B, does that mean that more women encounter reading as an opportunity to experience the spiritual?
I'm going to guess it's because they're more likely to pick up books that have like emotional or spiritual content in them versus Dune over and over again.
Okay. One, don't hate on Dune. All right. Two.
I've tried to read Dune. It's not.
It's awful. Yeah.
It's really fine. Bad. I lost my point. Oh, no. I think
you're trying to defend Dune.
No, it's nothing.
Wait a minute.
I don't want to defend Dune. I think that's a valid point. But I also think that men and women could pick up the same book. And many women might interpret it as a spiritual experience where men might not.
Right.
They could perhaps even have the same reaction of, yeah, those were really great characters. And I really felt like I connected with those. But women interpret that then as spiritual and maybe men don't.
Right.
I don't know if that's true. I'm positing that as a theory. Dead air. All right. great theory.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Well, I just
you know, I only get the data here. Thanks Ryan Berg.
Ryan Berg.
That a boy, Ryan.
The writer of these graphs.
But yes, basically, in these, there are 17 different ones here. I'll give you them all. Acts of protest, acts of service, art, attending a small group, attending service, being in nature, communicating with ancestors, fasting.
I've not done that one.
Meditation, offering donations, prayer, reading, study of religious text, tarot or fortune telling.
Nope.
Teaching in a religious setting.
Yep.
Writing, yoga, or martial arts. Basically, all of them.
Wait, was that writing, yoga, or
writing?
Writing.
Yoga or martial arts.
Okay, got it. Those are not one category.
I was like, they really lumped those together.
Writing slash yoga.
Right. Slash martial arts. Right. What?
Hey, the pen is mightier, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's a fair point.
So, and basically, in every one of those 17 spiritual practices,
mm-hmm.
Women are either substantially ahead or it's relatively even.
Yeah.
There's none that men are like, oh yeah, that's the man way.
Yeah.
That they're doing it. Okay.
Not even the being outside. Like that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
I was like, real men are outside.
So anyone that men
but again, not interpreting it as a spiritual experience.
Ahead, it's by like 1%. And women could have substantial percentages.
I think Elise's theory of the emotional intelligence is really helpful. I think it's how our women emotionally aware of the world in which they are, and that opens them up to having spiritual experiences where men might be having the same experience and not interpreting it as spiritual because of a lack or lower emotional awareness intelligence.
Right.
Yeah. Because culturally, that's what we have grown up in. And I think that it takes more work for men to fight against their cultural upbringing to become emotionally aware than it would for a woman to be emotionally aware.
Probably.
Is that a fair way to say that?
I think that's probably fair. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the other aspect that he kind of puts out here is like maybe women are also just like have a greater like diversity of experiences that they're interested in men are more, you know,
monolithic.
Yeah, monolithic or single focus. Like, sure. This is what I do in my spare time.
I have my hobby.
This is my.
I go to New Orleans to see Pikachu.
It's not weird. Here's my not weird hobbies. Yes.
The Kins from the Barbie movie. It's like, my job is beach.
Yeah.
And so maybe women are more like, you know, over a given week, they just do more things.
Yeah.
So I think maybe both of those can be true. Like, they do more, and then in those things that they're doing, they're just experiencing it. They're choosing to kind of experience that through an emotional or spiritual lens.
Yeah.
Where men were like, this is
it's a thing.
Right.
It's a thing I do.
I'm just going for a walk in nature.
Yeah.
This is not a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
This is fitness or gotta walk the dog or whatever. So
practicality.
You know. Gains.
Yes. When I go to the tarot or fortune telling, it's just what I do.
Right. It's just it's a card game. Yeah. I'm playing cards.
My weekly tarot game. What percentage of men had been to a tarot reading?
5%.
5%?
Okay. Compared to 4% of women. That's the one that I like.
What?
Whoa.
That should be.
That feels like a cover for something. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to the fortune teller again, babe. Are you?
I mean, based on some generalities here, I don't think 5 or 4% are doing this.
Yeah.
Right.
But two, that the patrons of the fortune teller or the tarot would be 2/3 women, in my opinion. You know, like,
based on Miss Chloe's advertisements, that's who it would be. Yeah.
Who's Miss Chloe?
Do you remember Miss Chloe? Yeah.
Call me now. Yes.
Yeah,
she was a Jamaican woman. She's speaking in a Jamaican accent.
Yeah. But she would do your tarot reading over the phone. I think it was tarot. I don't know. Some sort of fortune.
Interesting.
And you'd call and be like, the first 5 minutes are free, and then you'd be on hold for 5 minutes, and then someone would finally pick up and start charging you.
I'm sure she would be, you know, dangling out that the death card is coming.
Sure.
Right, yeah. You got to know what that means. Yeah.
Right. I've never seen or heard of a male fortune teller.
Well, if you were going to go to a fortune teller and you walk in, there's a dude.
I was like, oh, wrong door.
Yeah. No.
that robot in Big, he was male.
I've never seen Big.
The Zoltar machine?
Yeah. Zoltar.
That's right. Zoltar. I've been to Zoltar.
That's like machine.
Yeah, it's not. And that's a wizard, okay? I feel like fortune telling is just like a subset of his skills.
Does that include getting like Chinese food?
What?
Because you get a fortune cookie.
Oh, yeah. So is the fortune. So, yeah. Are the people who put the fortunes in the fortune cookie, are they all women? Yeah.
Probably a machine does that.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Zoltar.
Yeah.
Right.
But is it a male or female machine?
I have a hunch that they're not even Chinese.
They actually are not. It's true. Yeah.
The fortune cookie is an American invention.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I think it actually originates in Japan. I think it was a Japanese thing that came to America that America then popularized and made Chinese. I think that's the correct story.
Oh, we're going to have to research that.
We will.
Not right now because that's boring for everybody but us.
Yeah. All right. This is about it for when it comes to graphs. There's a few more in there.
Okay.
I don't think they're all that interesting. So.
Cool.
Well, the people want more graphs.
they want me to describe graphs to them. Nothing better than looking at a graph except for hearing the graph.
Right.
I think if there's a takeaway from this, I think we can say, okay, emotional intelligence probably has a lot to do with how you experience the world as spiritual. Mm-hmm. And I think there's an opportunity for all of us, men and women alike, to experience more of our world as spiritual. Like, that, you know, all of us have probably been outside in the last week.
Yeah.
Many of us have probably gone to worship or Bible study or, you know, read something or engaged with art in the last week. And if we're open to it, all of those can be opportunities to experience the spiritual.
Yeah.
But we have to be open to it. And I think that's one of the things that I think Jesus is really trying to encourage his disciples to be open to is, how are you encountering God in the everyday, right? How are you encountering God in the midst of all the other stuff that's going on? Not just in the like big unexplainable things, but in the everyday stuff that you're just doing. How are you encountering God in that?
You know, I think, you know, some real world, you know, example here.
Mm-hmm.
We have two Bible studies on Sunday morning. One
is
men, one is women.
We
do. Like, we do have kind of these two things, and I'm speaking with leaders.
We have other Bible studies too, but we have those two.
We have a man Bible study and a woman Bible study.
A man Bible study.
A men's Bible study. It sounds weird when you say man Bible study.
All right. Well, the male Bible study, our male-led Bible study, probably week to week, is about the same.
Yes.
The content is different. The discussion might be different, but like the structure is pretty much the exact same.
Yes.
Week to week.
Yep.
And the woman-led Bible study, it can be drastically different mm-hmm. week to week. They have different leaders. They have different kind of, they bring in different experiences. Mm-hmm. They bring in kind of different spiritual practices.
Occasionally they have decorations.
Occasionally, yeah, they have decorations. It's definitely in a much more emotional room mm-hmm. compared to the male room. So, because the male room has a bunch of like males. But I'm done.
Yeah. We got
I mean, like, I think, like,
you should have ended at cantaloupe. That
was cantaloupe.
Cantaloupe. Sorry. Yeah.
Cantaloupe. That's not funny. That's just a fruit.
Cantaloupes are the least funny of all the villains.
Or it's the,
makes me mad.
Or it's a villain, and like, he's talking to his teenage daughter. You cantaloupe.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's Elsa.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I cantaloupe.
Yeah. Because I'm a watermelon.
Right.
Well, anyway, so I think we see that kind of like even in within our practices, like our men's Bible study is more focused on like we want to do what we like to do.
Yeah.
And that's this. And we're kind of a little more nervous or unwilling or uncertain how to like expand beyond this.
Mm-hmm.
And the women's group is much more comfortable exploring different modes. Mm. And even if maybe like we explored this and we didn't like it, we can come back. They're just more comfortable kind of like bouncing around. Like it's a bigger box that they're working.
Sure.
In that, like, you know, maybe men have like a hammer and a saw, but they use them really, really well. And women have an entire toolbox to work with.
Yeah.
That they can kind of utilize at any moment. So, you know, that's kind of my
tool analogy.
You want
to? We always need a good tool analogy.
Do we want another analogy? Okay. Do you have like a makeup analogy?
Well, the last time that we tried to do this, David was like, "Well, like purses, you know, purses."
I was intentionally not saying anything at this moment. I'm just gonna sit here quietly. Right. Yeah.
Well, yeah,
that's all I got.
There you go.
I don't want to open my mouth and ruin it.
No, let's we'll stick with the tool analogy.
All right.
I've used a tool at some point in my life.
If you have ever used a tool, we want to hear about it, and we'd love to hear.
No, we don't. No, we do not.
Like, yeah, I've used a screwdriver. Like, oh, that's awesome.
I don't know.
Good job, buddy.
That's one of my hobbies. Not weird.
Nothing.
It's a normal hobby.
Nothing else has gotten people to write in yet. I'm giving it a shot.
Talk to us about...
This is tool talk.
You're 3/4 inch wrench.
That's the one. That's what I want to hear about. You can send those emails to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com, and you can find all our episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com.
Yeah, what's your electric tool cup brand of choice?
Oh, no. Don't start a fight.
Cobalt.
I'm in Milwaukee right now.
Me too. I'm a Milwaukee guy. Yep. And that's only because my father-in-law buys me Milwaukee
tools.
There you
go. Yep.
And I trust his judgment far more than mine.
That's wise. Yep.
I love this bonding for you two.
What's your tool of choice?
I don't use tools. What do I look like? A man?
All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.